Good morning. Hope you don't mind. This week you get two testimonies. It's our last week here at AFCO, coming down to the final wire. And we've had a great time. We're tired and blessed and happy. But this morning, our testimony for Tuesday will be from Josh Cook. Josh is currently from the state of Arkansas or California, depending where he wants to claim it. But we're just going to ask that... I'll turn the time over to him. Let him share with how God's working in his life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, I'm from Arkansas. I was born in South Carolina, but I'm from Arkansas, like Chuck said. Let's start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help me this morning. You know I'm going through some struggles, and I need your help this morning. Let my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to start off with a verse this morning. It's Proverbs 24:16. If you'll go ahead and turn with me there. For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. Sometimes when we fall, we tend to not get back up. But that's what we need to do. When we fall, we have to get back up. So have you ever felt like you've had no purpose in your life? Or your life is just meaningless? Or what's the point of even living? Have you thought about your life story? And is your story finished? This is where my story begins. This is South Carolina. And I'm that fat little chubby baby. And that's also the only time you'll ever see me with weight on my body. I was born in a small town called Wagner, South Carolina. And it was really small. I think we only had one red light. And... However, from the beginning, our family started on faulty ground. My mom married my father because my dad promised her the world. And she was lonely at the time, and she also was a single mother. So she married him. My dad and mom were both Adventists, and on the outside looking in, we look like Adventists. My parents were involved in Pathfinders. We were always sitting together in church. We were always involved with church activities. When people would come to our house, they'd see our family pictures, and they'd see us smiling and stuff, and they'd be like, "Oh, wow, what a good family you guys have." And they wouldn't know what was going on the inside. At the inside, we were being torn apart at the seams. The saying we had... little, but still happy, never applied to us. My father was driven by greed and his love for money. He never had enough. He always needed a bigger house, a better wife, more kids. He had gone to school to become an electrical engineer, so he made a lot of money. He made the six digits. So money was never a problem for us at the time. My dad also suffered from bipolar disorder, and instead of taking his medication, he turned to alcohol. And then when he turned to alcohol, he turned to abuse. And when he turned to abuse, Sorry, the devil's just really working on me. I remember my brothers and sisters and I, we had a two-story house, so we used to run upstairs. Every day when he got home from work, we knew the sound of his truck by heart. And when he'd pull into the driveway, we'd all know. We'd all instantly run upstairs because we'd be afraid. We never knew if he was going to be mad or if he was going to get violent. He threatened to kill my mom once, and it was so scary because as a kid, you didn't know what to do. You didn't know if you're supposed to call the cops. You don't know if you're supposed to run and hide. You don't know what you're supposed to do. So anyways, I didn't have the best father growing up. When I turned 11, my mom got a divorce and we moved to Arkansas close to her parents. And it wasn't an easy one because to this day we still have struggles with it. Just last year we still had to go to court over just reasons that don't really matter. And it's just for one reason. It's selfishness and greed. I guess that's two reasons. So skipping ahead, I won't go much into my childhood or teen years. At one point, I did have a relationship with God. I got baptized at 11, and that was also the same year that I moved to Arkansas. But due to certain circumstances, I allowed myself to get knocked down, and my faith failed. So like the Proverbs verse, I stayed down instead of getting back up. I did pretty well in school up until high school. I started failing school. I started dealing with depression. And it was because I had to work. My mom was a single parent, so she needed help paying bills at times. And then I also had to, you know, buy my own clothes and buy my own food at times and stuff like that. So I started falling asleep in class. My grades started failing. I wasn't able to concentrate. So by my 11th grade year, I dropped out. And I tried to do homeschool, but it didn't work because if you've ever tried to teach yourself math, it doesn't work. And I was a perfectionist. In reality, I was only failing one class. I was just struggling in a lot. Anyways, by the end of that year, I didn't end up doing any work. I was just working full time. So by my 12th grade year, I decided, you know, I really need to go to school. I don't want to get my GED. I'm not speaking bad about a GED. I just wanted to get my high school diploma because I knew it would make me feel more accomplished, and I knew it would just be better that way. So we prayed about it, and God worked. He opened the door to where I could go to Ozark Adventist Academy. And so I ended up taking 13 or 14 classes that year to graduate because I had to catch up. But I was able to do it because it was a boarding academy, and I boarded there. So, but before that year started, I had to tell my best friend something. I had to tell her something that was really bothering me, something that I was really struggling with. And the answer she gave me, she said, "Yes, so? Is that all you had to tell me?" Like, she didn't even care about it. And it almost made me feel good in a way because it didn't bother her and we were still friends after it. And I'll get into what I told her later. But I had to open up to someone. And it was one of the hardest things I'd ever done because I never really trusted people, at least with me. I didn't mind keeping someone else's secret and I didn't mind people talking to me about their problems because it didn't bother me. But for me to open up to someone else, that was hard because you're vulnerable. But sometimes that's the best thing we can do for healing. Unfortunately, we realize it too late most of the time. So I graduated high school, and it was one of the biggest accomplishments I've ever had. It felt amazing. And however, it just wasn't long-lived because, like I said, it was a boarding school, so I was left with a void. All my friends were in different states and stuff. And I had this craving to fit in. You see, I never really had a friend that cared about me. And one of my prayers as a kid was, I prayed to God that He would send me a friend, someone that I could relate with. And He never answered it, so it drove me to leave God. And I was always being scared. I was always scared to talk to guys because of my dad. So I guess I imprinted my dad on guys, you know. My hands would start to sweat. I would tense up. And I was always known to be the quiet guy in school. I knew silence was the best option because I knew people couldn't make fun of me for being quiet. But if people made fun of me for how I dress or how I look or how I talk, that would really hurt. But for being quiet, it didn't really matter. So that was my mask. So I compromised what I knew was right for what was wrong. And instead of staying with God and just writing this thing out, I turned to the world for answers. I turned to alcohol, I turned to marijuana, and I also turned to something that I could have never planned for or never prepared for. And it almost took me by surprise. You see, I never got the love I needed from my dad, and I was terrified of guys. But I wanted someone to appreciate me and just talk to me for who I was. But of course, no one would really talk to me because I wouldn't talk back. So it was like a catch-22. So I gave up. And I turned to a life of homosexuality. And that's what I told my friend in 12th grade. It was something that I was really struggling with. If God wasn't going to send me a friend, and if I couldn't talk to regular guys, I would turn to the sensitive ones. Most all gays and lesbians have problems of their own. And they're all struggling. So I fit right in. So now I was drinking and smoking and trying to find relationships with other guys. So skipping ahead a little bit further, I also imprinted my dad on God. He never kept his promises. I could never count on him or my friends to do anything. So why should I hold God to keeping his promises? God wasn't real to me. My friends weren't real. My dad wasn't real to me. So who is God? Who is this person? I always knew this life was wrong deep down. I could just feel it. And it just ate me up inside, along with the shame of this lifestyle. But I didn't know what to do. And I guess you could say I knew God was real, but I just felt like he couldn't save me. I felt like if he cared about me, you know, he would take this away. So I started asking questions to myself, like, if I did tell someone, would they talk to me? Would they really care? Would they try to help me? Or would they make fun of me? Or would they persecute me? Would they make me leave the church? And these questions eventually led to me leaving the church. However, God never left me this whole time. He was with me through it all. And I didn't see it until later, but he was with me. So getting kind of to the light at the end of the tunnel, skipping to the beginning of last year, I was just so high and so drunk, I didn't even know the difference between night and day most of the time. I'd show up to church high sometimes, and I'm sure they probably knew because my eyes were red, but they never said anything. And sometimes not saying anything could be the best thing you can do. It's weird sometimes. Anyways, I had to pray to God one night. And I prayed to him, God, I can't do this. I can't get out. I can't stop. I need your help. Because I knew my life was going nowhere. And I knew if I died that night, no one would even know my name. No one would know who I was. My family would be so disappointed. And I didn't know where I'd go. So God doesn't answer prayers immediately. But me and my friends took a trip to Colorado a month later. And sometimes, you know, God can use a bad situation and turn it around for his glory. My sister called, and she was just crying on the phone. This was on our way to Colorado. And she was just sobbing. And she told me two things. Well, I guess I'll tell you why she called. She called because her one of her best friend's brother died instantly of a heart attack. And she didn't want anything to happen to me because she realized that people could just die instantly. And she was just really scared at the time. So she called me and she said that she loved me and she doesn't want me to do anything stupid. And I didn't think anything about it until later that night when we were all getting high together. And then all of a sudden it hit me again. That prayer that I remember praying to God, and I was like, wow, my life is going nowhere. And then all of a sudden I started having a panic attack. My heart started racing, I started sweating, and then I started throwing up, and I just felt like I was going to die, and I was praying to God, I was like, God, please don't let me die here, don't let me die here, and he was merciful, and that was his first miracle for me. Because after that, I could no longer drink or smoke. Because I did try it a few more times after that, because I had to be sure. But I wasn't able to do it because each time I did it, I would have just a major panic attack. And it was horrible. And even to this day, like NyQuil, it's hard. Anything that affects my mind, it makes me paranoid. So skipping ahead a little bit more, there was one thing that God still hasn't delivered me from, and that was my homosexuality. So skipping to the beginning of this year, I was still in a relationship with a guy, but I wanted God. I knew he delivered me from drinking and from smoking, so now what? I still need help, but I felt empty. Even though I was with a guy, I had what I wanted, or so what I thought, I still felt empty. So I talked to him about it, and we ended up going to a church in Harrison, Arkansas. And the church that I went to happened to be the same church that one of the students here went to. And at that day that I went there, him and his wife and his kid got up front. They were baptized the week before, and they're a young couple. And it was one of the most powerful things for me because I saw a young person up front making a stand for God. And not just that, he was married and had a kid, and he seemed like he had his life together. And I was like, wow, I really want that. And so later on that night, I went home and I prayed to God. I was like, God, I can't do this. I need help. I can't get out of this. Homosexuality, it's not something you can just get out of. It has to be God. And so I prayed to him, and then a month later, he opened up the door. I was able to leave due to circumstances. They weren't the best, but I left, and I moved back home. And then about a month later, our church was putting on a prophecy seminar. And I don't typically go to these because most of the time they're really boring, and I fall asleep, so it's just a waste of gas and a waste of time. But for some reason, this one particular time, I had nothing to do. I wasn't working. I was bored. I had absolutely nothing to do. So I woke up in the morning, and for some reason, I couldn't sleep in. It was a Sabbath morning. I couldn't sleep in. And I was like, fine, I'll go to church. And so I went to church, and the guy that was doing it, he was preaching on the sanctuary, and it was just so clear to me. It made sense for the first time. I never understood the sanctuary until he preached on it. We have someone up there who is pleading for us, and he's saying, my blood covers them. And I've never heard that before. I've never heard that someone is up there fighting for my case, for my cause, because he loves me so much. And it made sense to me, and I couldn't miss another night. I had to go to the whole thing. I missed a few nights because of work, but for the most part, I was there every night. So I ended up getting rebaptized. And then this guy, Ryan Day, he's an awesome person. He showed me what it really means to be Christ-like. Because not only did he drive up 5 hours just to check on me, just to mentor me and make sure I was okay, he did Bible studies with me. And he made it possible, you know, for me to come to AFCO. I've never even heard of AFCO until a few months ago, actually. And I was like, I need to go to AFCO because I really want to have the right tools to share Jesus' love. I want to know how to do this. And Ryan, God sent Ryan. That's all I can say. God parted the waters for me, you know, even though I may have not seen myself as a good person. I may have seen myself as a fluke. God doesn't see that. God takes you where you're at. Sometimes we don't realize the plans for ourselves, and sometimes we can't see God working in our lives, and sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers right away. But God is always there. He just wants us to trust him. God has big plans for each and every one of us. And never never think you don't have a purpose, because each of us, we all have purposes. And that's to share this love that Jesus has shown us. So don't let your story be finished. Let God be the author of your life, because he truly loves you and he's truly pleading for you. We are truly worth more than the world. Alexandra and I are going to sing a song real quick. It's a song I made up when I was in high school. And the song, hopefully you can understand the words, but it applies more to my life now than it did then. And I guess God works in funny ways like that sometimes. Here I am, just waiting in the dark, just waiting for a sound. Oh God, here I am, surrounded by so much guilt, too much to take away. And I'm just waiting in the dark, just trying to find the light, just trying to hear a sound, but all there is silence. I'm just waiting in the dark, just trying to find the light. I'm sinking in my sin, barely any room to breathe. Oh God, here I am, just pleading for your help, begging for forgiveness. Oh God, here I am, calling out your name, hoping you're the answer. And I'm just waiting in the dark, just trying to find the light, just trying to hear a sound, but all there is silence. I'm just waiting in the dark, just trying to find the light. I'm sinking in my sin, barely any room to breathe. And then I heard a voice, quiet at first, whispering in my head, intensifying when I let it. And then I saw the light shining like the sun, with a voice like the thunder, calling out my name. Saying you'll be all right. The candle in the dark, I'm the voice in your head. I'm the shoulder to cry on. I'm the endless supply of love, and I'll be there till the end. And I'll see you when you're through. I'm the hand to pick you up and the way to lead you home. And I've seen your light.